Scott.
I'm Russell.
And I'm Leo. This is Spitball. Welcome to Spitball, the pitching kitchen, where three pixel pioneers empty our heads of startup and tech product ideas that we have stuck up in there so you can all have them for free. Anything that we say is yours to keep. Russell, you brought a guest along this week, yeah?
I did. Future daddy, current daddy, friend of the podcast, tech guru in some lights, quality engineer, messes with chemicals and batteries, Marshall, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Chemical daddy.
We're so glad to have you. This is going to be a lot of fun. And this week, thanks to your idea, we're going to be playing a game that we're calling Intramurals. So we're going to give ourselves roughly a minute or two for one of our reject ideas that doesn't deserve a whole episode. So who wants to start us off? It was your idea, Marshall. You want to be the first?
Yeah, sure. So the...
All right, what do you got?
The one that I got right off the bat is a retractable blanket. For for the neat freaks who like to be cozy, I'm one of those neat freaks, and I don't like leaving blankets all over the living room. And I can just picture this kind of retractable blanket you pull down when you need it, and then it goes right back up when you're done, clean and cozy.
Or
it goes right at the foot of the bed and you don't have to make your bed ever again. Why do you have to leave your sheets on the bed? You can just roll them up like a like a blind that you're pulling up.
Just rip the lawnmower, get the full diesel engine running.
Get some real torque in there.
I don't know. I like the cartoon spin at the very end of it.
This is great. Is it on the ceiling?
I guess I pictured it at the top of the couch and you pull it down, but you could go from underneath as well.
Like over your head, like a Snuggie? Does it have a hole in it?
I guess the armrests, like it doesn't open up or it doesn't cover the armrest. So that's where your head goes or something.
Oh.
So I'm picturing you lying down for this.
You're laying down?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Or you have two sections.
Or yeah, you just have a bunch of holes, like hooded holes throughout the whole blanket. And you just pop through one of the
suspicious,
like a Swiss cheese.
Yes.
Honey, did you cut a bunch of holes in my blanket?
This is great because, like, if you have a whole couch and you have a whole family that wants to, like, share a big blanket, don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, you don't have to have five different throw blankets all over the place. It's one amazing, enormous comforter that comes.
Mega blanket.
Right? Just the electric motor just running.
Yeah, like one of those awnings that people put on their decks or something.
And it can be an actual electric blanket with the heat. Yeah. I love it. This is great.
All right, Leo, what's your idea?
All right, I'll go. So there's a lot of mood tracking apps out there for yourself, keeping a log of how you're feeling day to day. It can help you with like tracking hormones and stuff like that. But it only stays private. I think you should have a mood tracker app for family and friends. So you can keep logs of people that you interact with and say, you know what? So this came from community. Abed tracks whether or not he has good or bad interactions. And then he realizes what he's actually tracking with his female friends. Then it started to yield very positive results. So I kept doing it. It's a great gag. But there are times where I wish, like, wow, there's a pattern. Every fall, this friend of mine gets really stressed. And every whatever, this other friend of mine, you know, it might be nice to keep track of that somehow.
Absolutely. You could like pop that open and see what kind of moods your friends are in. You know, you don't have to try to guess at it. So you're not trying to ask them for things when they're super grumpy.
There you go.
Yeah. NSA is going to love this. They're going to.
They already have this for all of us. The social media element of that app is going to be fascinating.
Mm. Yeah. It's like Be Real, but it says if you're good mood, bad mood, and it's shared with all your family and friends.
Dude, it's just emojis. It's just you. That's all you post. Just one emoji a day.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
No context. Just emoji.
There's got to be a network effect. How do you get people roped in? I don't know, but mood tracking for other people.
I wonder if you could do that just based on like blood pressure or heart rate or anything else. Could it come, if you feed enough data into this, could it come up with the correct emoji for
your
mood?
Maybe it's on everyone's Apple Watch. Yeah, totally.
Just the mood ring, but digitized.
It's on everyone's Aura ring. There you go. All right, Russell, what do you got?
This one would never make it on the pod. This is why it's called Outrage. It's basically a tool or a website kind of like The Onion, but it just does terrible reviews of people's favorite restaurants in local areas and just
one star or less.
You just make fun of like people's favorite dishes, and the whole breed is just the opposite of a critique. It's just awful, and people rage click on that, and you just make people angry on food reviews for local community restaurants. Mom and pop shops, hundreds of years, just don't care. Yep.
Hold on, I'm registering trainwreck.app right now. That's fun.
Oh yeah.
So if you're just like you want to kind of feed into your own anger a little bit, that's when you go to this space and just kind of feel the anger, feel the burn a little bit.
Yeah.
Facebook, formerly Twitter, that all the newsfeed teams have learned and then learned the lesson by reverting that angry people keep you on the site longer, right? That's why flame wars and stuff happen. So there you go.
That's
instead of showing you all your uncle's horrible political opinions, you're
skip
seeing
right to the good stuff.
Your favorite restaurant just skewered.
Dragged through the mud. How could anybody say that about this restaurant? The view is awful, and it's like the only lake view. Just smells bad from the dead fish. I don't know. I've thought about different restaurants that like would have no reason to, have a bad review.
That's great.
Yeah. Scott, let's hear your intramural half-baked idea.
This is definitely a scrimmage one that I could not pitch as the full. Okay, so in order to help break bad habits, let's start a company that gives experiences that are so bad you never want to do it again.
Oh.
So this stems from significant other recently had food poisoning to the point that we got like DoorDash and just a very bad experience with one of the ghost kitchens on it. And now she's like, I will never, ever eat this again. This weekend was one of the worst I've ever had. Never doing DoorDash now. And now we're just going to save extra money from not doing DoorDash in our future. Can you apply this to other things?
Quit smoking.
Quit smoking. Lace cigarettes
you up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You just call it or else. Oh. As I sit here, like picking and chewing on my fingernails, that's my oldest bad habit. If I had something that was like hanging over
fingernail polish that just tastes like anchovies or something.
I've heard of
that.
Cayenne pepper.
Like, sour apple stuff. Pepper.
Just ruin like TikTok. Like just have like 100 TikToks in a row that are just terrible. Never again. It's like, what am I on this for?
I want to quit my social media addiction. Yeah, exactly. All right. Who wants to go first for main ideas?
Wait, this was originally an intramural idea, and now I'm using it for Russell's Love Corner.
This sounds like a perfect segue into the main show.
It's almost junior varsity or something.
Yeah, it's a Russell's Love Corner, but I had to pull this out of a hat, but I thought about this a while ago. It's a little ridiculous, and I don't think this will ever... This is why I'm bringing a spitball, actually. This will be interesting. But
love it.
So I've thought about creating what we'll call it beacons. Okay? So basically, you're having a good night. You want to meet somebody. You can press a button and a beacon goes out to all the single people in an area saying, hey, come meet me at this place tonight, boys and girls, you know? And literally, it's just
the DTF button.
What? Yeah. Just, how is this different from Grindr?
Because you have to be at that location. Like, you probably have to... Yeah. This is how it makes money, because, like, I bet you would have restaurants or whatever hire or, like, encourage people... attractive people to come to launch their beacons at different restaurants. Yeah, there's some legs here. All right,
launch your beacon here and get free drinks for the next hour or something.
Yeah, the brand integration.
That's it.
Whoa,
you know, and now basically it's outsourcing single meetup nights to not be dependent on the restaurants or those people, but the single people. And so me and a bunch of my boys are going to launch our beacon tonight. That sounds bad.
You know what? That's part of the fun. That's part of the fun.
Dude, I think I beaconed twice last night. I don't even remember.
That's yep. That's so. Then now you just have people like, and then now it's like, oh, look at, but a bunch of beacons went off across the street. Let's go to that bar instead of this one, right? And now it's like it's a group. You know, it's probably better in groups. If you're, you know, launching your beacon by yourself, it's not going to be as cool. Sorry, I don't know how else to say it now. But yeah, it's like if you do it in groups maybe or something, that's kind of where it shifts into more fun.
Yeah. I just want to add some hardware to this where it's like an IR bracelet or something that you can only see through your phone if you're looking for it with the app or something. Like, oh, this person's, his beacon's going off over there, but you can only see it through the phone app.
It's got to be called Beacon now because the puns are the viral marketing in itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so now you just partner with brands. I think that's the monetization. It makes money. Mm-hmm. It's way different. You can take pictures with your boys and say, we're going to do this, right? And everybody can add on to that beacon. You know, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And now you have like, you know, before you go out, you can pick your place based on who's wants to talk to somebody, right? So get rid of the whole, it's online dating without, that's how I would pitch it. It's more like,
without preparation. Yeah,
you can't talk to them. It's just, oh, I have to meet them in person. Ugh, I have to date in real life. Yikes, right? Like, no, yeah, that's how it is now. That's how it should be.
If you're having a bad date during it, do you change the app to a distress beacon and someone else can come and get you out of there?
Yeah. Just fire the flare, you know?
I feel like it'd be really easy for this culturally to be like a sign of desperation or not coolness. So how do we make sure that it's a cool thing that cool people do?
Is it something
when they fire their beacon?
You want to have a small, like you have to have a small group together before you light the beacon? Because then it's not just like a single person
three or more
looking for love. Ooh. Or whatever. It's a little bit of a group scene, but you know, kind of saying, hey, we're open to hang out with more people. Come on over.
That's a great idea. Yep. You avoid there's that one creepy horny guy in the corner who beacons here every night.
Flashing in the corner.
Yeah.
Well, you could probably, like on the app, right? We can make like small beacons and then big beacons or something like that.
Well, that's your in-app purchase strategy, right?
Oh, there it is.
Jeez. It's the best one yet. This has got, this can make more money than the other ones.
It's got legs.
I could see this like helping out small businesses and, you know, setting up like donation drives or something like that. If you have a bunch of beacons going off for a adoption event for kittens or something.
That's wholesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's driving in the other direction from...
Yeah.
But you can have like a dog park beacon. Like, I feel like that's, I feel like a bunch of single people should meet a dog park. Everybody's got their dogs. Maybe we throw some beacons out there.
And that would be a great excuse. Yeah.
Mutual interest.
Dude, maybe we throw some Pokemon Go elements in there, like events, right? You do like random events at points of interest. Meet at this. No, I don't know if it's like a fountain.
It's the beacon weekend.
Yeah. I'll throw this out there and then I'll save it for the next love corner, but I want to create you know, the Bachelor and the Bachelorette, the shows. Mm-hmm. I think this is like, if you're a single person, you got to have, that would be an interesting way to create a, you know, use the beacon to, I don't know how to make it not creepy, but like create an experience where I'm like, you know, the most attractive dude on the planet, right? I mean, we're all that lucky to be here on this podcast
with
a bunch of...
We're looking at Marshall right
now.
Relatable, yeah. Yeah, we all know. Continue.
Bringing the average up.
You can somehow create that experience like live in person. Like I have 10 people all around like trying to talk to me. I don't know. Like I feel like everybody that watches that show wants that experience once in their life for The Bachelorette, at least. I think that's what people...
A sponsored mega beacon.
Something like that, or I don't know. That's a stretch with this app, right? One of the many that we will launch here on this podcast. But I think,
of course,
that's a.
I really like that idea.
Would you use it, Scott? Like, if you that, or like, would we have used this back in the day?
If I had a group, if we had a group of actually single guys, honestly, screw it. I would just force you guys to come out and be like, "Come on, we're all going out tonight. This is this tonight's for me. Get this app. Turn on your beacons, and we're hanging at this bar together."
Yeah,
light the.
That's how I would do it. Light the beacon.
Light the beacon.
There's something the beacons like are lit. Exciting about it, right?
Russell calls for aid.
It feels like it has gravitas. We've
yeah,
done it.
It really does.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
Gondor calls for aid.
You know what's funny?
Just a bunch of dudes on the app lighting their beacons to each other. it's going to happen. This becomes dudes hanging out, groups of guy friends, single guys meeting other groups of single guys and hanging out.
Everyone
that's
wins.
Valid. Yeah.
Why
yeah.
Not?
Yeah.
Maybe it should just be a bro app then.
The Tinders of the world let you choose what you're interested in. I imagine that you could filter it so that like you only see the beacons that are lit of your interests, right?
Oh, give them colors.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Hangouts are green and relationship interest pink.
Oh, stoplights, right? Red, green, yellow. It's complicated group. The stoplight parties of
the oh, it's a dude. Bad idea to engage with these ladies color.
You could rate yeah. groups. Could you rate
like Uber?
Oh, that beacon is bad news. Don't go to that beacon.
I really like the idea of it just release the app called Beacon, and that's all it is you are emitting a beacon. Like what Marshall said, you choose the color and then just let people figure it out on their own at that point. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to just light a red beacon here and see what happens. And someone can drive yeah. by to be like, I wonder what the red
Fight
beacon
Club.
Is. So there's 30 green beacons over here. Yeah, exactly. It'll just become its own little meaning and its own little cliques
sure.
and areas.
Yeah, got to figure it out. Let the community figure it out.
Dude, mm-hmm. throw some Snapchat geolocation stuff. Like you can click the beacon, you can see the videos that are happening right now, you know? That'd be kind of cool. See how the fights are going, you know? At the Fight Club.
Ooh, that beacon just went out.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Let's go.
Uh-oh, call the police.
All righty, Scotty. Let's hear what you're pitching today.
Okay. So I recently read an article that I cannot stop thinking about, and it is a company that is training AI models. Microsoft's putting like $50 billion into new servers and training for different AIs, which is just a bunch of GPUs, super energy intensive.
He said, AI, take a shot.
Oh, crap. And so, but what this company is doing is they are renting people GPUs to put in their home. And because they take so much energy, the people you're using them as space heaters for their home. And then the company is then subsidizing them money to pay for the power that's being consumed there. So pretty much you're just getting a free space heater that you just have to keep safe.
Or you're paying like half costs because you're going to use a space heater anyway. Mm-hmm. Might as well split it with this guy. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And if energy is being subsidized by that and you have a source of heat in your home, there are so many different attachments or things that you could put on top of this space heater / GPU. It's not hard to make a dehumidifier out of things as long as you have a heat source to condense air and constantly be pulling moisture out. You could put a big glass case around it full of algae that feeds off of the heat on it and a basic light source and use that for air purifying. Just put a hose connected to this guy, run water through it, and all of a sudden you have heated floors or a heated swimming pool. You have a heat source for free in your house. How do we utilize it?
Melt wow. snow.
Mm-hmm. Melt, there you go.
Yeah. Melt your driveway.
Mm-hmm. Small basic, a mat that you can put over anything that just runs in and out of this GPU.
So is this like a thing?
Run your literal hot water heater.
So the actual yeah. space heater part of it is a thing right now.
So people are selling GPU pack boxes.
This is a Kickstarter that I just saw.
Oh.
Where they're like, we're going to take these GPUs and we're going to put them out into the world, rent them out into the world, and you're going to get the free heat.
Put this in your basement, mm-hmm. and we'll pay for half the energy to run it. You pay for half energy and you get heat.
In addition, you could also get the dehumidifier attachment because it's in your basement.
So we're coming up with a bunch of ideas that would add on to this idea.
How would you use heat?
Mm-hmm.
Free heat.
I mean, water heaters are constantly running. Right. You just have it.
The amount of power that goes through these things.
Help that.
Honestly.
Dude, water heat, yes. I would just tag on everything. Like, I would just get 50 of these in my home. It's just free heat.
Mm-hmm.
Can you condense heat so that it's like, you know, 500 degrees, I'm using it for my oven type thing? If you have a GPU that's running for an hour and it produces this many joules, can that be collected and stored and accumulated somehow? I don't know enough physics to... Probably not.
I feel like that would have been done in some way if it was easier to do. Not specifically.
So like, for example, we have a hot water pot. We have a thing that's kind of like a kettle in our house, but it takes forever to heat up, but it always stays at like 208 degrees, and it's an always on hot water thing, and it uses almost no electricity because it spreads out the load over a long, long time and doesn't take much to keep something hot in energy once you get it there. I'm just wondering, what are the upper limits of this GPU temperature that we have to work with?
Yeah.
You
know?
Well, how hot do GPUs get? It's like around 100 C, right? I don't 80, know.
Yeah.
I'm cooking egg on that.
Dude.
You could run a 3D printer on that.
I do this kind of today. I mean, I close the door of this room for my podcast, and I don't have to run the heat in this room. Don't get good airflow. Like, it makes sense.
Because of all the computers just, on around you and 3D printers.
I have three monitors, you know, yeah. My computer.
My wife complains that my office is significantly warmer than every other room in the house, even when I'm not in it. Got my NAS and my all the stuff, you know.
Yeah, but this is kind of like a mini split where you have smaller heat sources spread around the house. If you have like... a brick or something that you plug in one room and you have it around a couple rooms, then you can be more, you can have it more localized and more controlled as well.
I mean, there's so much. You can build a water cooler, or not a water cooler, like you put like a, you know, an oil reservoir. Like, there is a whole crap load of stuff you could do with this, I think. Well, but
that's the thing. You can use the heat to create essentially a refrigerator and have a cooling side on it at the same time. Pump. You could literally power a refrigerator via a heat pump with this thing.
Could you go complete? Like, in a way, this would wipe out solar panels from the planet.
Well, we still need the energy.
The energy goes into this box still, dude.
Yeah. The difference is someone else is paying for the energy.
Oh, okay,
it's kind of like how your car has, like, it collects the waste heat and that's how it runs the heat, like from the engine.
Let me add to this. Let's say you add solar panels to your roof to power those GPUs. Now you're literally making money running GPUs, free heats. Like, you get your energy if they subsidize it the right way and they're not like paying your electricity bill, right? You're just like, throw some solar panels on it. I'm retired. See ya, boys. I got 30 GPUs.
We don't even need the GPU at this point. Let's get the solar panels.
GPUs, the GPUs make you your money. The solar panels save you all the energy. And so now they're paying you literally to. Right, subsidize your energy. Well, I make my own energy, so a couple grand a month.
Scott, can you teach me about heat pumps? So, like, you can turn this into cold somehow, right? How does that work?
I literally was on ChatGPT right before pitching this, being like, I can do this, right? And so,
yeah, because like air conditioning and refrigeration and stuff uses the loop energy. Well, I guess you have electricity.
Yeah,
going
you still
in,
have to
heat.
Have some kind of energy input. You're it's like you're moving the heat around, I think.
It's about compressing a liquid. There's a liquid that when you compress it cools,
right.
Or it's the other way around. So when you compress it or you evaporate air, it cools or heats it. I did HVAC school. I have a certification in HVAC, believe it or not.
What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Not a
Who
full
are
trade
you?
School,
man of many talents.
But I did yeah, when I launched a company, I had to do this whole HVAC training. But yeah, there's a compressor, an evaporator, and a coil.
Yeah.
And that coil, when compressed, is what creates the heat. When you compress the liquid, I think it emits the heat, or the other way around. So
yeah, it's like you have to put the energy in to move it from heat to cool or cold.
But the thing that's going into the system is not,
I don't know.
Compressors are what costs it's what the energy is.
Right. So a way to collect heat. What are the ways that people collect heat and turn it into energy? You got turbines. That's a little bit too big scale for what we're doing here. Like boiling water steam turbine is a little much.
Is that it? Is everything steam?
Yeah, it kind of makes me think that maybe if we could just collect heat coming out of the back of the computers and turn it into more energy, we probably would have been doing that already, right?
Yeah.
Marshall, is there some other kind of liquid which a much lower point to turn into gas that we could be running through here and make little tiny turbines?
Many of those are explosive, so probably not a good idea.
I know that our city has bricks all around that have computers in them, and they track the temperature of the sidewalk, but they're self-powered because they have plates on the top and bottom of the brick, and somehow they generate just a little bit of voltage in electricity
from
the temperature differential between the warmer earth and the cooler air. You can generate energy with plates and some sort of I don't know enough about it to sound intelligent while I say this, but there are systems out there to generate just a little bit of electricity with temperature differentials, I think, but probably not enough for what we're looking to do here.
There's got to be a way to convert heat and energy, right? Like you can charge a battery with heat, right? So I feel like this is,
we're all running up against the limits of our physics knowledge.
No, yeah. There's definitely, I know there's an example. I guess it is steam.
All right. I don't want to get us too stuck in the rut of just turn it back into more energy. What other cool stuff can you do with a heat block in your basement?
I honestly think it's a retirement plan. If you throw some solar panels on there, like that is dope. But,
I mean, could you switch it around a little bit and rent out some of the computing power? Because like GPUs are expensive and hard to come by. That's kind of what part of what gave you the idea, I think, right? What if
kind of the deal you're signing up for, the
half or some fraction of the computing power itself instead of the heat? I mean, instead of the subsidized energy, you kind of have to trade it out, I would assume. Can't get both.
Yeah.
But then you get a GPU for your sweet new computer.
You had ideas, right, okay, Scott?
And you just share it with IBM.
I'm so sorry to go back to this, but Stirling engines and thermoelectric generators using the Seebeck effect can convert temperature differences directly into electric voltage. This is going to be extremely inefficient compared to what we're pouring into this GPU, but you're getting something out and it's free.
It's one of those thermoelectric generators, but it's the entire bottom of the baseboards of your floor, all along your ceiling in the basement where these GPUs live. And when the heat hits the ceiling, it's generating, you know, just enough of a temperature differential across a huge amount of space. I don't know how
you
these things work.
Straight to the bank.
Stop talking up my ass.
Straight to the bank. My initial gut reaction on this was I wanted to put different attachments on top of this, like the dehumidifier one, the air purifying one that was just filled with algae that's living off of this heat on here, the hose attachment where it runs a coil around it. And you can get hot water to different places, such as to your heated floors, to your pool, to keep your coffee warm on your desk. Just a bunch of ridiculous hardware attachments you could put on this guy and upsell that as part of your GPU rental heater experience.
Dude, I feel like, GPU rental, I feel like you could apply this to, like, speaking of HVAC, like the back of your refrigerator, right? Those compressors get stupid hot. You run a little coil out of there, you got free heat. It's just there's a lot of vampiric heat throughout your house, your oven when it's done, right? Your stove or whatever. Not your stove.
I always wondered where that heat goes.
Right. It just evaporates free energy into the air, right? Why not convert it into something useful, right?
As our previous guest, Steph, and I have shared before, we have an ongoing debate about if we have an oven that is at temperature and we've completed using it, do you have the same amount of energy entering your home if you leave the door shut when you're done with it versus if you open it? I think technically yes, but that energy is spread over more time, right? So is it more efficient for your, like, let's save the furnace running for 20 minutes by opening the door? Or is it just, no, it's a wash, leave it closed or open, doesn't matter?
Isn't that the same kind of argument where, like, people have about running their heaters, whether you want to, like, blast it a whole bunch at once to build up, you know, a lot of heat, or run it intermittently over a period of time on and off? I forget which one of those wins out, or if that is just an ongoing argument, but I think it's kind of the same thing, right?
It is.
There's this also thing that I learned in HVAC certification.
Man, that is,
it's called,
it's really coming in handy, man.
My HVAC certification.
It's
if you guys want to sponsor us, HVAC Technicians of America.
The objects in your house retain heat, and so in a way, if, like, bringing a room up to surface temperature, you actually have to think about, oh, all the pieces of furniture and crap in your room, you actually have to bring that up to temperature as well. And so there's probably something there.
It's act like all the stuff around you is acting as quote unquote insulation.
Yes.
That you're slowly heating and or releasing heat. If
So I don't know if they didn't teach me what that means. Like, should you keep your house warmer or colder? But I feel like if you keep it hotter, right, you have all this stuff in your house that now is holding that heat as well. To your point, Leo, ovens, right? Why not you just run this coil, let's say from or whatever, like the GPU, to run through surfaces throughout your house to then become another heating element, right? Kind of like those speakers that you just clip onto a desk, and then now the desk becomes a speaker. You could kind of run coils and heating elements throughout your house that are like, they're like hot packs, right?
Everything's a heater.
Yeah.
It's like those centralized vacuums that you plug into the different ports, only you've got just hot everywhere you need it.
No, yeah, your favorite spot on the couch is my favorite spot on the couch is always heated by my GPU in the basement.
My bed at night.
My bed at night. My toilet seat.
Before you get in it.
My
just for the bidet.
Ooh. Yes.
There's just a bidet tank next to it.
That's the life. I have a GPU in my bidet tank.
Oh, yeah. All right, Marshall, what idea do you bring this week?
All right. So I really enjoy mini golf, and I want to find a way to really spruce it up and jazz it up. And I'm also a big fan of just doing puzzles, whether it's like jigsaw puzzles or word puzzles. And I want to find a way to combine the two. So I guess what I'm imagining is setting up a mini golf course that has puzzles built into it. And so you have to kind of complete the puzzle to move to the next hole or something like that. I feel like you could go really complicated with this. Like the original idea in my head was a lot more Rube Goldberg. But that is also very complex. So you could also do some cool stuff with like virtual reality or augmented Whoa. Reality. I feel like would be an amazing use case for augmented reality, to have like puzzles that you solve by kind of knocking a golf ball and you try to knock it into this column and that opens a gate so that you can then knock it in this other direction. And so it's more than just moving around obstacles. There's a little bit more of a mechanical marvel to it. And I think that would really draw people. I think people would be excited about seeing something like that in action, whether it is a big physical thing in front of you or a kind of virtual space that you have, I guess, curated for some more specific puzzles.
Like an escape room.
Yes.
Like an escape room.
Escape rooms meet putt-putt.
Exactly. Oh, that's great. Because that, people gather for those. People are excited to come together and solve puzzles together. You could have it be a group experience where you have to have multiple people participating in order to get to the next stage. You know, it's working in one room together, but it's putt-putt. What you guys think?
That's sweet.
I love the VR possible element to that as well. just put them in. Because my first thought is on this is, okay, if you're doing puzzles on Putt-Putt, like the only, everyone loves Putt-Putt except for waiting behind the person in front of you doing Putt-Putt. And if you're all of a sudden, it's some person figuring out a puzzle up front. So I really love the idea of combining this like escape room ask where like you have your own section. It could even be the same room where things are changing inside the room and you're just putting the same course that's changing all the time, or you're moving on to different ones going through.
Yeah.
That could be awesome.
That's a good point.
You could put time limits too. You could put like escape rooms have a time limit, right? You could throw like, all right, you have 10 minutes a hole, you pass or fail, and your game is beat all 18 holes in your time limit, or 9 holes, right? It's team effort. Maybe it's like a shot, like it has to be a hole in one too. You could do stuff like that. Because that would be, now everybody's like, come on, get the, you know, nail it. Turn to the left.
Then you get your picture taken if you beat the record and get the hole in one.
But over the course of your puzzles that you've solved so far, you're getting yourself rewards like bumpers and easier paths to the hole in one and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Yeah.
The faster you solve each of them, the more bonuses you get moving on.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That's some good incentive.
And then maybe the final part of it with that last hole in one is, you know, there is some kind of mechanical piece that takes the ball away, and that's that's the Rube Goldberg part of it where a Ferris wheel carries it away from you so you don't get another shot. That's it, man. Once you've hit that last shot, it's gone.
You gotta monetize this, right? You gotta steal the ball at the end of the course.
Yeah, come back and try again next time.
I've used my MetaQuest 2 for a lot of like 0G frisbee and playing Beat Saber and stuff. But honestly, playing golf and golf simulators works really, really well. We have a friend who bought me a putt-putt game, and it's super fun to play golf in VR.
Nice.
Yeah, I imagine you have to have some kind of like haptic feedback with that, right? Is there any kind of built-in for the games you've played, Leo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the controllers each buzz and... actually, you know what? Some of the games require controllers, but some of them are just hand tracking. And you could even have like your own accessory that you sell that is a little golf club or something, you know, or just nothing at all. You're pressing buttons.
Yeah, it's probably not too difficult to set up a golf club that has haptic feedback. You know, just have the sensors in the right place, and you don't even need the ball for this. It can just be purely virtual.
Inside.
Yeah.
Every time you swing and you tap it, it vibrates. So like every MacBook since 2015, when you push the trackpad, it feels like you're pushing down the thing for when it's just a solid piece of glass that doesn't move. And it's got a little vibrate motor and it feels like you're depressing something and moving it downward, but you're not. It's just like buzzing in just the right way. You could trick your brain easily with like the Nintendo Switch made a big deal about this when it launched. You could vibrate stuff just right so that it feels like my controller's full of marbles or whatever. You could tap your golf club in just the right way where it feels like you've made contact with the ball. That's great.
And depending on like how hard you swing it, it can clunk harder for a bigger swing.
You inserted the club into the secret keyhole in your escape room thing and it feels like you're turning it or something. There's got to be a way to do that. Yeah.
And yeah, like if you have like a team element, you could have different hole. Like one hole isn't just, it's not a one hole with one hole in it. Mm-hmm. It's multiple holes.
Oh, everyone has to do their own section of the puzzle all at the same time or something.
Yep. Yeah. Or you need that. Like it's part of it is gated in a way that you need some people to hit certain markers for you to move on in your section or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So like each puzzle,
I can't cross this pit of lava below me until someone else gets their putt so I could put up a bridge.
Yeah. Like you don't have to have one ball either. You can have like 3 balls per hole, and now you have to nail, right? You have to do the hole in one in each one in order to unlock the thing, And yeah,
totally.
That'd be
Russell, as many balls as you want.
I want 8. I want 8 of them.
Yeah, but then you're kind of like tracking more than one just for yourself to kind of get to the goal, I guess.
Instead of a par 3, it's a 3 ball hole, right?
Oh yeah, because you can generate more at a whim, but that's part of what your score is. Like if you can do it with just the one or two, higher score.
Yeah. And if it's like 10 minutes and it's like a 12 ball, a 12 par course, and you have to nail, right? Oh, I got to hit 12 swings. I got to nail all of these, right? Or that's, yeah, I lose the puzzle and then I don't get my tickets.
If it's actually happening in VR and software, then you can randomize it too, because it feels like if you just have it like a static thing, then it doesn't have much replayability. But if you're able to mix up the puzzles somehow.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mixing up a mini golf course is probably hard.
Like Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes has frameworks for each puzzle, but they're randomized and kind of generated.
Okay. So you have different mechanics and puzzle elements that are being shifted around every time you play. Or you could even, like I know a lot of games have, what's it called? Seeds, where if you know an exact puzzle you do want to play or want to play one together with people,
you can bring it back up.
I'll use that same code and then you're playing the same level, or you could just get a completely new
one. Lets you tap into the speedrun community.
There it is.
If you have that kind of hardware though, where you can get that sort of haptic feedback, I also want to see the free for all opposite version of this, where everyone's in the room at the same time and it'd be like, first one to get it in the hole wins, go. Like,
yeah, the Fall Guys of
yeah, the Fall Guy version, yeah, where it's just chaos and you are just going as fast as you can.
That sounds like a blast. Like
these Tetris 99, F-Zero 99 games that Switch has been doing, where you just have a mob. That's great.
Yeah, that sounds like a bonding experience. Like a
but in some warehouse somewhere. Yeah.
Corporate event, fun. Bachelor party, right.
Team building.
Team building.
What don't if it was hidden? Everyone else. Like, what if you hide? There's one hole, and everybody has to try to putt around to find it. Just
putting through the forest.
It's part of the putting through the forest.
What is that guy doing? Luck. Oh, there's a putt course nearby. They're looking for the hole.
It's a worldwide ARG. First to find the hole on Earth wins.
Ooh. That's how you get just the buzz randomly started generated. For it. That's how you get it going. Kickoff event.
I love the idea of a giant corporate warehouse for VR, where you just get a bunch of Oculuses or something, invite groups of people there and be like, okay, this is this game that we're doing. That we're doing paintball today. We're doing forest putt. We're doing whatever.
It does exist, yeah. There's been like, you know, when the last Harry Potter movie came out, come to our thing, put on your VR headsets, and we have a special partnership where you can
be
in Hogwarts or whatever. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, you could have separate events like that kind of tied into it. But it's got to be mini golf themed still.
That's right.
I'm not letting go of that.
That's great.
Harry Potter mini golf? Maybe.
It's got to be mini golf.
I might be thinking of the wrong franchise, but there was definitely some like big blockbuster AAA film that partnered and did a VR experience where they basically did that. They built like it's kind of a set around there, but really you don't need a ton of decoration stuff because it's all being VR'd on top of, but you can like run into a real wall, you know?
VR Latency. I think that's the name of the place.
I'm sure there's been several.
Not that we can get this part. It's like there's a place in Holland, right?
That's a great idea, Marshall.
I like it.
I know. I want to see that. I want to do that.
Me too.
I just don't want to put in the work. So spitball people, it's yours.
That's why we're here.
Okay, Leo, what idea have you got for us today?
It's a simple one. So for those of you who don't know this, I'm sorry to bear the bad news, but your bathroom is disgusting and particles settle all over everything, including your toothbrush. And it's always bothered me when I found out how gross toothbrushes are.
Yep.
There are ultrasonic jewelry cleaners out there that just use regular water to vibrate and clean shit. There should be one with some sort of notch or hole, and that's where I store my toothbrush. I stick it in there at night and it just vibrates and stuff. I think there's some for like UV or whatever, but it just cleans it every night. And then it's sitting in there for a minute or two. I don't think you have to do it for very long. And you get a clean toothbrush every day. Done. Pitch over. I don't know how to make it waterproof, but yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea. Because all you need is the ultrasonic vibrations to kill the germs. I think that's true. I think you can sterilize stuff ultrasonically.
What? Wait, you're telling me that... It's just water?
There are jewelry cleaners out there that you just stick water. Sometimes you can put a little bit of like bleach or something in it, or like shining agent or whatever, but you just stick. I don't know if you've seen videos out there, but TikTok or whatever has them where you just stick a dirty piece of like bracelet or jewelry or necklace. It just vibrates water and not much else, and dirt falls off of it. I want to store things that actually go in my body in there.
So I have one of those jewelry cleaners. I have something like that for it's like the size of my glasses, so I can clean them off every once in a while. But
does it work?
To have one like built in with your toothbrush, like a
does it
a
work
case.
For your glasses?
I have to use soap for that. I'm not sterilizing. I'm trying to get the oils off, but it does.
Sure. Yeah. How long do you have to leave it in there before they're clean?
The one I have runs for like a preset 3 minutes.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing. I want it there for 23 hours until I'm ready
to
brush my teeth.
No, I'm saying that's
again.
All you need. You stick your toothbrush in there, you run it for 3 minutes while you use your mouthwash and wash your face or get your pajamas on, and then you're done.
Or just do your alarm in the morning. Because if it's buzzing loud enough.
For those of you who have electric toothbrush, you just take the head off and stick it in there. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to have the notch.
I wonder if you could flush the system, somehow have it hooked up to your main water line where it'll just auto flush and auto refill each day or however you want.
Ooh, yeah.
If that was the case, you could put anything in there, like you said. I just have my cleaning box. Maybe you don't want to share your toothbrush with it after this if I'm putting in jewelry or other things, but
I think there are like camping and desktop small apartment dishwashers that you can get that sit on a countertop and they hook up to your kitchen sink, and you just like turn on the faucet and the pipe goes straight into it, and it's got room for a few plates and not much else. But for people who are in a situation where they can have a full one, right? You want kind of like that, but also with a pass through on the faucet where it just sort of sits there and you can, your cleaning box. Exactly.
That'd be dope. You could just create the toothbrush too. Why not stop at the like this is the toothbrush that's always clean, right? You just
it's compatible but proprietary with our special heads that we have to sell.
Just go all the way.
I love that actually. It's just a toothbrush, an electric toothbrush, but it stores upside down so the bristles are facing down, it's inside of some ultrasonic recharging thing.
Yes.
And then you pull it back up and it's clean and ready to go each time.
Boom.
If you're storing it inside something, then it doesn't really even need the like everyday thing. Cause it's
I want it extra clean.
I mean, I would like get all the black pieces out. Yeah.
And I like the idea of having it drain somewhere too afterwards. Cause like after it's clean, you don't want it sitting around in that water. Cause then it's just going to get funky again. All that stuff that you blew off is going to settle back down. So you drain it, let it dry.
Reservoir tank that'll auto flush it each time.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
You just fill it up once a month or whatever, once a week.
Like a Keurig type thing where it's
Exactly.
You probably wouldn't need a lot of volume.
Yeah, you don't need much.
Every time you flush your toilet, it actually takes the water from the top tank, runs it through. Yeah. Why reinvent the wheel? We gotta.
We'll just store toothbrushes in the top of our toilet.
I was gonna say that. Cold. The toilet tank is clean water. You just make that the ultrasonic cleaner.
That's it.
And it has a GPU in it.
Small risk of electric shock. Do not sit on that. You gotta squat. You gotta hover.
No metal toilet seats.
Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed yourself this evening. And thank you very much, Marshall. It was a delight to have you.
Yeah, it was wonderful to be here.
Thanks.
Our website is spitball.show. There you can find us, links to YouTube channel, social media, all you Google Podcast refugees. Head on over to YouTube and subscribe to us. Email us feedback, comments, ideas. If this made you think of something else, if we didn't know that one of the things we said already existed, tell us about it. We're podcast at spitball.show. That's how you can find us in the Fediverse too, such as Mastodon. You just follow podcast at spitball.show. Our subreddit is r/spitballshow. Our intro-outro music is Swingers by Bonkers Beat Club. You're listening on a podcast app. Please, if you wouldn't mind, hit us with that 5-star review, subscribe, add, whatever it is that your app lets you do to this show. Please do it. That's the best way people to find out about us. New episode is coming out in 2 weeks. We will see you then.